Welcome back to Biff, a podcast about superhero TV shows, movies, and podcasts that eat their own tail. My name is Dan Morin, and I am joined, as always, by my co-host. John Moltz is here. Hi, John.
I wasted time, and now it doth waste me.
Ooh. Deep. Guy English is also here. Hi, Guy.
Pumpkins.
Anyone? Somebody asked about what, why, yeah. And I don't know. Honestly, I meant to look it up at some point, but I'm sure it's.
I started looking that up, and I didn't get that far. But I think that might just be like a thing that they said in the 1800s.
Yeah, like an expression of like.
Yeah, like wow. Pumpkins, like wow, like, or you know.
Yeah, like I'm great. Boy, thank, yeah, goodness, the that was awesome, or something. You know,
a terrible time for language.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I like it. Who cares what it, like, you don't need to know what it means. Like, you can tell by context, right? He's like self-satisfied.
Well, unless it has some deeper meaning that you're
missing. Oh, yeah. Someone out there has already written a four-page listicle about what
this
means.
Well,
do you
know what? It foreshadows the coming of the Hobgoblin. That's what it does.
That's right. We are here to discuss the season series finale to Loki season two, entitled Glorious Purpose. And if you happen to cock your head at that and think to yourself, wait, isn't there another episode named Glorious Purpose? Jesus Christ, Siri, shut up. Sorry. That was also the name of the first episode of the entire show. So
it's
the show
almost
itself,
like an Ouroboros.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh. I like that the Ouroboros titled episode was effectively in the middle of the show.
Oh. Cute.
Interesting.
Yeah.
John Moltz has elected to do a recap of what was sure to be a very straightforward hour.
Absolutely. Yeah, so we go back to the TVA as Timely is about to head out to fix the loom. Loki time slips into his body and Timely is spaghettified again. Loki asks Obi what they could have done differently, and he says they took too long. So Loki goes back and tries to hurry them up. That doesn't work. He goes earlier and tries to get Miss Minutes to help. He tries over and over. He goes back to when Timely and Obi met and asks how long it would take to learn everything Obi knows. Obi says decades. Timely says centuries. Fortunately, Loki is a god. Centuries later.
I love the look on his face. It's like...
yeah.
Resignation. Especially, I've seen this episode twice now, or at least.
God, I've seen it like four times.
Yeah, it's probably three now that I think about it. But... just the look on his face, like he's looking annoyed and kind of resigned, and you kind of expect him to try to do anything else except it just cuts to like, okay, centuries later, he just bit the bullet and did it.
Yeah,
it's
awesome. Knew what he had to do.
Yeah. So, yeah, okay.
That is always like, you know, they skip all that in these time loop sort of things, like the number of times that you have to convince the person that, you know,
right.
like either that you're in the time loop and that they should listen to you or whatever it is to get everybody caught up to the point where you already are.
Yeah. I'm sure there's like film papers on like Groundhog Day about how many loops did he actually do.
I was going to say, it does also make me think of like some, we've seen, in fact, just the three of us in the shows we have covered on the course of Biff, we have seen many time loop episodes.
Yep, that's for sure.
And I was thinking about some of them, including the Legends of Tomorrow one, where I think at one point she just says to Nate, Groundhog Day, and he's like, got it, okay. Which I enjoy.
So he's able to speed everything up now because he knows how it all works. Timely finally makes it to the
is it
end
just
of
me or did he
plan.
Turn into Doctor Who? Sorry, John, like,
yeah,
I'm excited.
Yeah, right,
like, because he's like now like a he's urgent, he's knows everything about like all of the technical mumbo jumbo, and he's just running around and like doing the doctor stuff. Yeah. And there's no way Tom Hiddleston does not know.
He's definitely grown up watching Doctor Who. Stuff is so perfect. I mean, it cuts the, you know, right in between annoyed and still trying to be helpful.
Exactly. Yeah.
This will be fine. You'll work. Yep.
So great. Like he's trying so hard. He's frustrated.
Push the green button. It does stick a little bit.
It's not like he's dealing with children, but maybe like
Yeah.
Like he's gone into a computer store to find this one thing and the salesperson is like trying to
Yeah. Like, you know, when teach him something. When you call Apple yeah. with a problem and they like they have to walk you through the 20 things that you've already done.
Yeah. And you're not mad at the person. You're just like, okay.
Right.
Yeah,
they have a script also, but they have to go through it.
Part of it also I think is the element of, again, as you said, the number of times he's been through the loop that we don't see.
Yeah.
Where you know that he's like, yeah, I realized last time the button stuck, and that's why he has to press it more this time. It's like it's playing a video game, right?
It can be kind of sticky.
Okay, last time I didn't time this quite right, and now I know I have to hit the square button, like when I'm at this point.
Yep.
Yeah.
I love the emphasis on like, what did I say about not putting it down on the platform?
Right.
Like things like that, where it's like, we don't need to see it. You get it. You get the idea.
I love when he's like. He just says, somebody's coming. You better look out. Somebody's coming for your job. Like he anticipates a joke, which is like more than he needed to do. You know, like he definitely says that he's like, I'm so sick of hearing that joke. I do not want to hear that joke anymore. I'm excited. So
Timely finally launches the multiplier and then makes it back in. They all stand there and gaze out at the loom and it's working again. Until Obi says that the readings are off. The loom is overloading again because he can't scale to infinity. Seems like this is something that he might have learned beforehand, before centuries, but that's okay. Sylvie says it's as if when the timeline started branching, this was all doomed to happen. So we go back to the castle at the end of time. Loki slips into himself and tries again to convince Sylvie not to kill Timely. Loki says again, the last thing that he wants is a throne. She kills Timely over and over again. He jumps into himself at different points. She keeps saying that if he wants to stop her, he'll have to kill her. He asks Timely why he never tries to stop her, and he who remains. Yeah, and he pauses time and asks Loki how many times he's been at this. He kind of teases him and says that he set all this in motion and wasn't about to just let her kill him. Then Loki himself pauses time and turns the tables on him a bit. He who remains says the loom is there to delete everything but the sacred timeline. Loki says he's going to change the equation, break the loom. He who remains says that every moment of peace Loki's ever had is because he was there at the end of time protecting everything. Loki says he understands. So he who remains says Loki either breaks the loom and starts a war, kills Sylvie to protect everything. Zip, we go back to Mobius interviewing Loki in season 1, episode 1. Loki asks how he chooses who lives and who dies, and Mobius tells the story of his basically kill Hitler as a child moment when he couldn't do it, and Renslayer stepped in and killed the child.
There's no comfort,
you just choose your burden. Loki thanks him, shakes his hand, and then Mobius and the TVA dissolve. Zip back to Obi's workshop on Earth, where Loki first learned how to time slip. He stops time to talk to Sylvie and explains the situation to her. He asks her what he should do. It's the sacred timeline or nothing. She says that's not free will, and dying trying is better. So he realizes that it's all about the hope of replacing something bad with something better. He slips back to the TVA after Timely unlocks the blast doors. He takes a good look at his friends, and then he heads downstairs and goes out through the doors. The radiation rips his TVA suit off of him and reveals his true self. He breaks the loom, and all the branches burst free. They're dying until he starts to grab them. He continues to scoop them up as he walks toward the end of time. And then he comes to He Who Remains' chair, struggling to pull all the branches with him. And then he sits and blasts energy through them all, basically making himself into a new loom that looks remarkably like a tree. Mm-hmm. After we see life at the TVA returning to a new normal, Obi and Casey are trying to fix Miss Minutes. B-15 talks to Mobius about the Kang variants before heading up to the war room, and Mobius looks at his own file. He tells her that he wants to go see what they've been protecting. The TVA has apparently turned over a new leaf and even has a new handbook. The Timely variant doesn't get a copy as a boy anymore. Renslayer wakes up in the wastes at the end of time. And then we see Mobius at his weird house watching himself, and Sylvie shows up. They have a bit of a moment before she leaves him there, where he says he's just going to hang out there for a while. And we cut to Loki on his throne, and he smiles sort of sadly.
I'm going to credit John, just before I forget, I want to credit John with saying that the TVA turned over a new leaf when they turned into a tree. I think that was... That's very clever, John.
Oh, sure. That was definitely...
Did you notice that their monitors were now going vertically? Like, the timeline no longer went left to right? Like, they had a tree display.
It grows organically?
No, it did not.
Like, the monitor was the same size, which, you know, but the branches were going up and out.
Yeah. Do they explain or show, and I missed it, what happens to Timely, the one, the variant who already exists, who's been there?
No.
That's a good question. I don't think so.
They
no.
don't show. No.
Yeah, he kind of disappears.
I think the idea is that he does disappear somehow, because he does not get created in the first place.
Yeah.
Because they don't put
that
book.
Right. That timeline no longer exists, essentially, was never rebuilt.
Something like that.
You would feel like he's outside of time, so it shouldn't matter at that point. But right. I guess, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things in here that, like, I'm not sure exactly how they work, but that's okay.
Yeah, it's fair. But,
yeah, I want to save that because I think that's part of the beauty of it. Man, where do you want to start?
I don't know.
Wow.
Anyway, like to get back to the tree, of course, it seems like that's a reference to Yggdrasil, however you pronounce it. Yeah, which is the Norse tree that all the worlds live on.
Yeah, sure.
There's some other stuff, like apparently like Loki's sort of, you know, the end of his story in the Norse myth, he is bound by entrails until the coming of Ragnarok.
Ragnarok, yeah.
When he will, when he apparently will fight Heimdall, and the two will kill each other. And
it's too late for that on a number of levels.
Yeah. Well, although, you know, like if Tom Hiddleston is going to fight Idris Elba, I just
want to see him.
I'll be there for it.
My money's on Idris, but sure.
Yeah. I don't need him to fight. I just need him to, you know, have a nice game of chess or something.
Neither of those characters feel like they would fight right now, though, right? Like
not as they portrayed them in these.
Yeah.
Stories, I wouldn't think, but that's something
that I enjoyed, little bits I enjoyed. I like the Marvel fanfare that runs in reverse at the beginning.
Oh, is that what it was? I knew it was. I mean, like, yeah.
No, specifically, but the visuals. It starts with the Marvel Studios, and then it all goes in reverse back to, like, through the comics and everything, which I thought was cute.
And all the voices are all Thor/Loki stuff, yeah.
Oh, are they? Okay, I missed that.
At one point, we hear Thor yell, "He's a friend from work." And like, that's it was such a creepy beginning to have that like comedic line sort of punch in. I enjoyed it.
There's so much in here, right? Like, and I think this episode in particular manages to do a lot of different stuff because it both manages to have like a, you know, time loop comedy aspect happening, but also doing like some serious dramatic work, like at a couple of points.
Mm-hmm.
I think is really truly multifaceted. It's also again, we've talked a lot about this season about confidence, and I feel like this episode has a lot of that, right? And that works to its favor, especially when there are things that don't necessarily make sense if you think about them too much. The show just kind of is like, that's how it is, we're moving on. Mm-hmm. And I think it had a very distinctive place it wanted to end up, and a message or a thing that it wanted to say about Loki as a character. And I think that's, to me, what makes it so successful, is that it is a show that is predominantly concerned with character. At the end of the day, the repercussions of what happens, the nuts and bolts, don't really matter. It's all about this guy finding his place, essentially.
Okay, so I guess we're rated?
We're done. Rating? Yeah.
There's so much I like in here. And in the way that they, you know, he gets to his throne, of course, and yet it's not what he wanted. It's never been what he wanted. And he never really wanted a throne in the first place. Like, that wasn't exactly what he wanted.
What he says in the Avengers is, I am burdened with glorious purpose. And it turns out you know, especially right. during this episode, everybody's talking to him about the burden of that and the burden. And he takes on that burden. And he, like, that's what actually finally makes him worthy of it, right? Is that he's taken on the, the burden of his purpose.
He chose, and he chose the burden rather than trying to steal the throne, I guess. You know?
Yeah.
He's taking the responsibility as opposed to... sort of. I mean, all along, every time that he has managed to seize power, he's done it through trickery or or by force. And this is completely different.
Right. And in the end, it wasn't about, you know, I think he realizes power is hollow. Like, and that, you know, like you said, there's a burden. It's all about the burden, about making the hard decision.
Yeah.
And because he ultimately... he does it because he wants to save people, right? This is full Moltz.
Moltz doctrine, 100%.
Yeah.
It's like people keep telling him, or Sylvie keeps telling him, you have to kill me to do this. You're going to have to kill me. And I was like, oh God, I didn't like the way it was building up. But guess what? Look, he pulls some Moltz out of his back pocket and he's like, you know what? I'm taking one for the team. I'm just doing it.
Right, because it's the opposite. He's like, not only does he not want to kill Sylvie, he doesn't want any of his friends to die, right?
Yeah,
like,
right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And he believes, he's come to believe in choice so much. Because, like,
yeah. One of the lovely things about that choice is also there is a subversion of the sort of, you know, kill one person to save infinity people trope, right? Like, because that's how it's positioned. And he's basically, he says that's a false choice, right?
Yeah.
Like,
pulls a Mr. Spock.
Yeah, there is still a, right, there is still a needs of a many need versus, you know, the needs of the one situation, but he's just like, I'm the one. I'm, and like, you know, I gotta make that choice.
Yeah.
And yeah, a character, right. The character at the beginning, this character at the beginning of this show or any place in the MCU, would never make this choice.
No.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Even at
not.
The beginning of the episode, he wasn't making that choice, right?
Well, he was trying to find another way.
Yeah,
he was trying to find any other way. Yeah, and he tells...
But I think, you know, I think from the point, at least from the point where he has the conversation with Sylvie in the bar, it becomes clear that he is a much different person than he was
in
the beginning. We knew that anyway, but he voices it there, and he knows it.
Yeah. Well, that's it, yeah, because we'd seen him change, but he hadn't... We hadn't seen him have a moment of introspection where it was revealed to us that he was aware of that until that bar scene where he,
surfaced. When he says, most purpose is more burden than glory.
Yeah.
Which is
not wrong.
Not wrong. And that's exactly what he ends up.
Bringing the deep.
Man. Yeah. Owen Wilson
is the burden of all time on his shoulders, basically.
Owen Wilson is a tall, handsome Yoda is not what I expected, but man, that guy is like dropping truth bombs left and right. I love that he was the final shot of the I guess we go to Loki, but he had the final words, which I'll just watch time watch time go by or something.
Let time pass.
So cool. This episode, just to get back to what Dan was saying, really does do both things, or you know, It uses time travel to have its cake and eat it. It manages to do everything right. Well, maybe not everything right, but it manages to have both a sort of chaotic humor, almost Doctor Who-y kind of aspect, and like a really sort of significant character building moments for most of our cast. And I am just in awe of it. Even the denouement kind of stuff where we are seeing Mobius leaving the TVA and not Sylvie, Renslayer wakes up and she's on the TVA kind of pad. The music that's playing there with the horns and everything, and God, it is incredible. I had chills. Like the third time I watched it, I was like, oh God, I still got chills. It is so cool. I am just sort of beside myself at how well they managed to land this.
Yeah.
I'm sure we're going to get into some quibble soon, but anybody else want to just keep piling up this.
I don't have many, honestly. The only thing I would say is that some of the there's a lot of mumbo jumbo, obviously.
Yeah,
I think that's the only thing, and the fact that he wouldn't know about, you know, not being able to scale for infinity.
So my take on that was that he didn't know it was expanding infinitely, because that's
right.
And so he just didn't think that that would be the limit. But yeah,
to my mind, it's such a small
item that I just don't care. Yeah,
to my mind, he was so focused on the nuts and bolts of getting the job done that he didn't even really stop to think about the large, impact. Yeah. But it didn't. Yeah, I agree. There's a lot of mumbo jumbo, but you compare it to Doctor Who, and I think it definitely has a little bit of that energy
there.
And it's like,
it doesn't really
matter.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
There's so many great quotes in here too. He quotes, Shakespeare one time at one point, which I said at the beginning,
T.S. Eliot.
And then he also quotes T.S. Eliot, and I went and looked up that poem, and there's another line in it, that says, "What we call the beginning is often the end." And it's just like they managed to, it's like I would love to be able to we watch these things all the time, and I Dan's a writer. I would love to be able to think that I could write something like this, but I just don't know enough good stuff to be able to pull things together in order to make something that's as brilliant as this. So,
yeah.
Alas, here I am.
it's not like they just write it off the dome, right? Like
there's a bunch of research, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it fits together so beautifully.
It's great. Yeah, it really is.
I had a question about your interpretation. Where does Renslayer end up?
She's at that wasteland at the end of time.
Where was that monster? Abby.
So that's what she's seeing. You don't see it, but that's why it's reflecting sort of purple on her face.
So things are going bad for her.
And I'm taking it to mean, well, the fact that the TVA markers there sort of reveals to us that like the place at the end of time, the chaos and all of that is. A far future version of a really broken down and corroded TVA.
Well, yeah. So that's
like the same facility is the place at the end of time. That's
the remains of the TVA that was.
Yeah,
sort of.
It's the same facility. Yeah. It's the site of the same facility.
It's just all collapsed, on itself. Yeah.
And there's there are multiple points where the TVA sort of dissolves, and so
Interesting. Overall, I think this does mostly a pretty great job of wrapping stuff up. I would say my couple little critiques are one of my frustrations throughout the entire season has been I didn't think they gave B-15 enough to do, and I think that is still true here.
Yeah.
I think she had a really great arc in the first season, and this season they felt a little bit like we've jam-packed so much other stuff in here, adding like Kehui Kwan as OB in here, and then Victor Timely, and all of that felt like there's just not room for all of these characters to all have arcs in six episodes, which is again kind of a minor critique, because I don't think it ends up playing as much to the larger impact of it. But it is a small thing where I thought like, we had these characters and it feels like they're just walking around in the background without much stuff to do. But she gets a nice scene with Mobius at the end. And she, if she's not running the TVA, she's certainly very high up in the hierarchy at this point.
Oh, yeah. 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 Well, I mean, you get the feeling it's more democratic, right?
Like exactly.
That,
yeah.
That room is like bustling and like stuff's happening and like,
Yeah.
It's not just one dude asleep in the corner.
Yeah.
That dude's in there, I'm pretty sure.
He probably is. I'm sure I didn't look, but I would not be surprised.
How do you guys feel about this as a, I'm going to say, send-off question mark for the character of Loki, who has
they never say never again, but he has stated that this is the end of his journey as Loki, but...
Yeah. I want it to be the end. I
think it's a fantastic ending.
It is.
I think the arc of this character. I mean, this isn't a character that I ever cared about going into the MCU, and I was blown away by his performance in Thor. Mm-hmm. Honestly,
I thought he was
fantastic, and has been great ever since then. And you know, and was saddled with some, like, he's not a great villain in Avengers.
No,
I don't think he's.
No, but he's
good. Like, he certainly does very well, and he's, you know, he gets some good lines in, and he's written okay, but like, I don't think the way that it, anyway,
that movie, there's not a lot of space for him.
That movie while we're here,
but. We just need a guy. We need a guy to chew some scenery and have an alien army and be kind of intimidating and good enough. Like, there's, that movie's about the heroes, really. It's the,
But I think Mobius points out that that's not very trickstery, you know, that's not very,
right. It's
not
kind
very
of
subtle
to it's
walk
kind of
in
straight
with an
up.
Army
yeah.
and try to conquer a planet. That's not.
They poke fun at it multiple times too, which I think is great, right? Like the, you know, the same bit when he mentions in the earlier episode, he's like, oh, you know, one time I was so mad at my brother, my dad, I got a whole army and went down. You're like, right. I think there's something to be said about that. Even within the MCU, everybody realizes, that was kind of a weak spot.
Yeah. And he just, like, he had to be in that because he was the first big bad that the Avengers fought in the comic books, I guess. But it doesn't stand up very well to deep scrutiny.
Yeah. But I think I agree with you that I think as a send off for this particular character, it works. Like, there's an arc here, and the arc is very effective, I think, in the way that with all the things we just talked about in terms of how he progresses. And it's just, you know, it's a great place to leave him. I mean, I hate the idea of the whole, like, you know, at some point, you know, down the road in the MCU, somebody like traveling through the multiverse or whatever, like, pops out and like finds him sitting on the throne. He's like,
yeah,
Loki. He's like, what's up? You know, like,
yeah,
cameo, you know, I think that would be kind of fun, is to have a cameo. But again, I think this is, you know, he's taken this character, as John said, so much farther beyond what this character really offered going in, and turned them into such an interesting dynamic character. And I think one of the big issues with comics and the MCU, and I think we've started to butt up against this, is the idea that nothing ever ends.
Yep.
And everything just keeps going forever. And so having at least ends built into various narratives along the way, I think is a plus, because it's, you can tell, you need to be able, a story needs an ending, right? The stories are not beginning, middle, right? Like, that's not satisfying.
I think in the MCU, though, it's so rare that you have a character who is not exactly a main character have an arc that is so complete. Because usually what happens is a character will show up and they'll just be like, here's so-and-so. Oh, it's so exciting to have them. And you don't know much about them or anything. And then, like, the next time they appear, you'll find out more about their backstory, and then you'll get a little bit more. And then, you know, eventually there's an arc that builds, which may or may not come to fruition. This one started out exactly where, you know, as if it knew where it was going. I don't think there's any way that they knew exactly where it was going. I don't think there's any way that they, I mean, who knows if they even knew that this was how this show was going to end in the first season.
Right. Yeah. They claimed that they had a cold story in mind, but I don't know.
I mean, then maybe they had a general idea, but because it does seem, I mean, like you said, it seems like some characters got short shrift, because it seems like they made, at some point they made a decision, we're going to do two seasons. Like, I don't think, I'm not sure that they necessarily knew how many seasons they were going to do.
Yeah.
Because this seems to have been wrapped up quite tightly.
Yeah. I mean,
how it comes back for a third season. Without sort of ruining the moment here.
I agree. Yeah. I mean, I think they said they set it out. I read an interview somewhere where they said they set out to tell the story over the course of two seasons. And I think possibly they started to try and tell it over one and realized it wouldn't quite fit. The implication was like, oh, if we did get a third season, it would be about something totally else or something like that. Like, I agree.
A TVA spinoff would like get everybody else in and just Loki's not there. That would work if they need to do that. But Loki is done, as far as I'm concerned, and beautifully wrapped up like that.
Yeah.
You can't. It's like as soon as you take him out of that tree, you break his character. It's like, you know, what's Atlas without him being the guy that carries the world, mm-hmm. sort of like mm-hmm. thing, you know? Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess he's that's all he really does. Strong, but it's not the point. Like, the what I loved last episode was the distinction between science and then fiction, and he ultimately solves it by, I guess, you know, the power of love type thing, like going on the fiction side of it rather than chasing around all the gizmo sides of it. And
that would be great if the power of love played does the credits.
It kind of is. It kind of is, right? It takes him. Yeah. It takes him right to Sylvie. Yeah. But it takes him right to Sylvie, right? So this episode basically followed the same, not the same pattern, but the same. It did what they told us they were going to do last episode, which is he sciences the crap out of it. He does centuries worth of study, does all of this stuff. And at the end of the day, all he's got to do is just walk out there and be a god. Does it make any sense in terms of the techno mumbo jumbo we've invested in all of this season? Nope, not at all. Is it better? Yes. I like it so much better. Because it's about the character, you know, finally realizing what his glorious purpose is, and his robes are not glorious. They're like, he's not in the gold horns or anything. He's kind of like a,
it's almost like a priestly vestment or
almost
something.
Like, yeah, like it's not ornate or anything. It's not the ones that he had in the Avengers. It's like maybe a farmer type thing, like somebody more down to earth. Like, and his shoes weren't calling out the shoes specifically, I thought was interesting, because they're kind of sandals. They're not like ornate in any way either, or boots or anything.
Yeah,
like, it's just kind of humble, like a really humble take on it. And he just invests himself in you know, accepting upon himself the burden of his purpose, and in that is the glory of it. And it's not glory for him, it's just glory for the multiverse, I guess. I don't really know. Like, it's not like he's being adored by every member of every time thing ever. He's found his own glory, I suppose, in his dedication to his purpose. You can't mess with
friends,
that. What are you going to do?
Friends know.
Yeah, his friends know. Exactly. And that's what he's doing it for.
The people that matter to him the most know.
Exactly. That's who he's doing it for. Power of love. Yeah. That's the power.
Every time. Every time. That's all I'm thinking. Yeah. I agree with what you've all said. I think this is such a good capstone on this. I will say one thing I wanted to mention is, and I'll try to thread this needle carefully, but we have all disclaim, as always, when we talk about this, Jonathan Majors is very problematic. He is shortly or presently to be in court over some allegations. And to set that aside for a moment, in so much as you can, He Who Remains a fascinating character, and
I love that
appreciate
performance.
That there's more to be seen of him here.
Yeah. I like him more than I like Timely as a character.
And I think they're intended to be
different,
you know.
Sure.
Yeah, exactly. That's the thing. The choices made are intended to be so different, right? Because that's part of it, is like, we need to distinguish these characters.
Right. I think I may have found Timely more endearing and cute in some way. If my feelings for the actor weren't getting in the way. You know what I mean? Like, a cute, bumbling guy, I can get with that. That's kind of fun. you know, but so I think that one's a bit more tainted than my appreciation for his portrayal of He Who Remains, which is starkly different and kind of still charming. I like when Loki gets the upper hand on him, like the way he's kind of handling that.
Yep.
He's a fascinating character with a terrific portrayal. You know?
Yeah.
I'm going to ignore that. We have to stipulate that the I'm really sad about the status of whatever, all the concerns around the actor, because I thoroughly enjoy his performance here, and I would love to see more of that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you can see why on the basis of...
If it did not come with
a bag. If it didn't come with a bag, which is kind of the only thing taking... It's the only thing taking me out of it, to be honest, which is...
Is that the basis of that is why you can see why, given this performance, Marvel elected to hang so much on
it. Oh, 100%. Yeah, definitely.
And, you know, as we've discussed before, got to do your due diligence on that, and it feels like they didn't. So, what becomes of that is a different question, but in this
on the other hand, I do want
performance here.
I do want to point out that while I enjoy Jonathan Majors' tremendous performance, that's wonderful, he's not the only amazing actor out there. Like B15, I would love to see more B15. There's I don't even know, I'm sure there's people I've never even seen before who can turn out incredible performances, and If this opens it up to like some other person who can also turn in some awesome work, terrific. That's great. I don't want to say that I'm going to miss him to the degree that I think it's a detriment. I think it's sad, but there's other amazing, incredible actors that I would love to see their work.
Yep. Yeah. Agreed. And credit here as well to Owen Wilson. I think
does a great job
again. I feel like he brings just the right amount of Owen Wilson to this role. Like, he's still doing a lot of the Owen Wilson mannerisms, but he also feels very distinct, and I like his whole thing that we get with him, right? Like, you know, he kind of lives up to his name here. He is sort of a Mobius strip of a person where he's like watching his other life, but not like, he's not like, I'm going to take over that life or anything, right? He's just there to kind of observe. So I enjoy his performance.
Which is a little weird, but
it's a little weird. I mean, I don't know where it's going in the long term, but it doesn't, it doesn't really matter. Like, again, I don't need the question answered of like, what does Mobius do for the next 20 years necessarily, right? Like, it may be that he goes back to the TVA. It may be that he carves out a life for himself somewhere else in the timelines. Who knows? It doesn't really matter. What matters is that the progression of this character who went from, I'm very happy with this life, to really acknowledging that like he is missing something.
Yeah.
And I love that the bit that we eavesdrop on here for his real life is such a contrast to what Loki saw of it, right? Because, you know, we were talking about in the previous episode where like he's a bad dad, right? Like and that's easy to say because we see this little slice of him, whereas in this one, you know, it's not even focused on that much, but we get the idea that he actually is a good dad, right? Like they, or like
he's a human.
He's human. Yeah. He's got his flaws, but he also is not, it's not like he doesn't love his kids, and he clearly is, you know, doing his best or whatever. And I think that was a nice moment to reflect on the idea. It's like, we're complicated. People are complicated and nobody is the best at what they do all the time.
Right? I do want to shout out his, or underscore his performance in that interview scene with Loki, which I think in most other episodes that would have been the standout scene. It just happened to be crammed into an episode where almost every scene is a standout scene. They're all great. But that interview is so heart touching. It's so... It speaks to Mobius' character, too, that he kind of wants to share that with Loki, who, from his perspective, he just met. It tells Loki everything that he needs to know. Mobius is just such an empathetic and good person in those scenes, you know? Like...
He's kind of like that in the beginning, you know, originally, right? I mean, I think he's trying to manipulate him too, obviously, to get what he needs, but he's also there to find out what is going on with Loki. What's up in Loki's
world? There's a reason they brought him in as opposed to someone else, right? He's doing a job.
Yeah. And it kind of, you know, it explains why he's not a hunter anymore, and it kind of explains why he didn't move up the ranks at all. just because, you know, he's great at his job, but just don't ask him to actually do the violence of it, which is, yeah, well, no kidding.
Can't blame you. Yeah, should we ritual this?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Who wants to go first?
Who wants to go first? Everyone. We all Ouroboros it.
Yeah. It's one of the strongest biffs that I've ever given out. I would say
it
wrapped up this series incredibly well, and it wrapped up the character even more so. Throughout the whole thing, I've given a lot of credit to Tom Hiddleston's performance, and it shines in this episode from, comedic to everything else. And it's, in a way it's sad because if this is the end of Loki, if his time as Loki in the MCU, I will to a certain degree miss the character, but at the same time, it's such a great thing from start to finish that I don't want to change any of it, really. So I'm kind of hoping that it is is the end. If you want to have another Loki come in, we have Kid Loki come in and be in the Young Avengers or something like that, that's fine. That doesn't change this character's arc. This is sort of a second Loki in a way, right? Because the other one was strangled by Thanos. That I don't mind, but I mean, at the very least, I guess you could come back and he could play a different Loki, I suppose. But
yeah, to what end?
Exactly.
That's exactly.
I think if you're going to do it, just have have Kid Loki, have some, have him be reborn, whatever. I mean, it's happened a million times in the comic books anyway, so go ahead and do something like that. But it was so well written that it feels like something that I will watch over and over again for years, probably, because it's just that good. So I am happy that we have had this sort of palate cleanser after the last show that we watched, because
I don't remember what you're talking about, John. I don't recall any other show.
I feel like I have a little bit of whiplash maybe, but it's the good kind. So strong biff.
Yeah, I agree with John. I give it a biff. I don't know. I just don't rewatch a lot of stuff, not as much as I think John does. So yeah, I don't know that I will go back and revisit this a lot.
Yeah,
but I am very satisfied with the ending, and that is not a thing that I say about much. Fact is, TV tends to go a couple different ways, right? Like you either die or live long enough to see yourself become the villain. No, there's a lot of fizzling out, right? Like stuff is like, because it used to be the TV model was just keep making it forever, right? Keep making it forever. And we just want content to spin out. And that's still sort of the model. But nowadays, I think much more often is like stuff gets cut short. People have these great ideas of like, I'm going to do 6 seasons of this. And they're like, no, you get one and you didn't do great. Sorry, that's the end. Mm-hmm. So it's a rare thing for a show to be able to be like, we have an idea and we are landing that idea. And I appreciate that, especially when it is executed this well. So I think that's full credit to all the showrunners. I can easily imagine at some point they went to Marvel and were like, this has got to be 2 seasons. Like maybe some of it is like you asked us to set up the whole Kang thing. And it's like, we don't have room for that. If we're going to tell this whole story, and they're like, well, you can do it in 2 seasons. It's like, yeah, we can do it in 2 seasons. And so I think they had a great job. If I had one critique of this overall season, I think it does go back to it's a larger expansion on my earlier critique about, underutilized characters.
Yeah.
Which is, I think, Tom Hiddleston rightfully so gets the stage here.
Yeah.
And he is great. But there are so many other interesting characters in here who just like, we just don't have time. Like even Sylvie, I think to an extent gets reduced in this season.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah.
And I like some of the interactions she and Loki have, but like she was such a driving force in the first season. And it feels like she does take a bit of a back seat here because we're really delving into the character of Loki, which is ironic. She's also Loki. but we kind of forget that at times. Yeah, I think that's my only critique about this is it's very Loki-centric, and that's fine. It's his show.
I'm trying to remember what happens in the
broken up about it, but
what happens in the mid part of the season if you were going to stretch this out, you could have had another season break in between.
Yeah,
Yeah. Not exactly sure where he was.
Well, so the
be tough.
The bit that's weirdly compressed is the whole TVA versus external TVA, like the Rebels
itself.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah,
that gets compressed like literally. Oh god, short. I didn't mean to do it, but it literally gets compressed in a little cube, and everybody dies like way earlier. I think you could have fleshed that bit out quite a bit.
Yeah, I mean,
you could have had a lot more
where...
going on in the TVA where it's like, what are we doing, and what is our purpose? Why, like, are we just going to prune everything, or are we going to do free will? That could have been expanded on.
I think you're right on the money there, Guy. I think that if you, there is a world where this was three seasons and the middle season was the TVA coming to terms with itself and the last season was Loki coming to terms with himself.
Yeah.
But I also cannot blame anybody involved for saying like, no, we could do, let's smush this into one. Tom Hiddleston's ready to be done. You know,
yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you look at like a $200 million, I don't know how much it is. Let's say $100 million for like a season. And you're like, well, do we really care about how the TVA comes to grips with itself? Probably not. Let's just
could we do that
squish
in
that
an
one
episode?
Down and yeah.
So, but overall, a biff for this. I found it very enjoyable. It's funny. It's touching. It looks pretty good. Honestly, I think that's one of the other things that works really well in this show.
Beautiful.
We've talked about a lot.
Beautiful.
Production design is amazing.
Yep.
It looks great. It is. I think in its uniqueness is what makes it stand out. And
that whole sequence when he's
so
claiming
MCU
his
era.
Throne. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Just beautiful work.
Right. And it doesn't end in a fight, right? Like,
nope.
Like that's not nothing.
I just, one shot I do want to call out is while Mobius and Sylvie are standing there looking at his house, Mobius is shot from the back and there's sun coming from his, on the right side of the screen, and Sylvie's there in green, making the whole vision go from like gold to green, like Loki color. Green to gold, left to right, Loki colors, which I loved. It is a beautifully, beautifully shot episode and show in general. I really, really want to underscore that. And it's not even my turn to say nice things about this episode.
Yeah. they spent the time, the money, and it feels like they let all the people in the crew in production do what they wanted to do. Do if that makes sense, right? Yeah. Like, you know, they were like willing to say like, this is what this needs to look like, and we're gonna do it this way. It doesn't have to, you know, conform to other stuff or whatever. I don't know. They let their kind of imaginations run wild, and they backed it up. And so, you know, full credit to that.
Yeah. Somebody on Mastodon asked me about the rating system, and I said I would explain it, but I'll go quick. Long story short, Biff is the ultimate best. John Jr. is a character that sort of annoyed us from season 4, I think, of Arrow. A couple of our favorite characters had a daughter named Sarah, and then Barry from The Flash fame did some time-traveling mumbo-jumbo, and baby Sarah got turned into baby John Jr., and it's hard to hate a baby. But we still not happy.
We can do it.
We would rather have Sarah. So that's why it's in the middle.
Dissatisfied with a baby.
Yeah, that's it. We're dissatisfied, you know? That's why John Jr. is in the middle. It's like, that's kind of a bummer. Can't
hate
it.
We don't hate the baby, but we're just, you know, the baby could try a little harder.
Exactly. And the last one is Alex, also from Arrow season 4, who is like basically a wet paper left out on your doorstep. He was like a clipboard carrying political consultant type guy who was dating Oliver Queen's sister Thea. That's it. And he's the most boring possible thing we saw on that show. And at some point he just gets killed and nobody even cares. Like, not even his girlfriend or ex. He's so boring. Nobody cares. And that's why that's the worst one. It's because it just gets, we get down to the so boring that nobody cares level, which is why when something really stinks, like a couple of episodes of Secret Invasion, we're a little bit at a loss because we don't have anything on our scale to indicate I'm upset with you and I think you're mad. So we don't go that far down. Neither do we go so far up that above a biff, which is why I make up BS all the time, which this episode certainly is. It is top tier. It's probably one of the best things we've seen while recording Biff. I really think it's way up there. It is thankfully a show that is still within our ability to review. I think if we did Watchmen, which I really believe is just an amazing show, there are so many deep social issues and things brought up there that I don't feel confident in discussing without, you know, in-depth study. And we are mostly just cracking dumb jokes. This show, on the other hand, deals with the human condition in a very abstract kind of way. And I love it. I am just really awed by how good this show was. I was not looking forward to it at all. I don't care about Loki. I liked Tom Hiddleston. I thought he did a great job. But it's like, do I really want to see Loki do stuff? And first season, episode one, turned me around. I'm like, this is beautiful. It's amazing. And to see it come to this conclusion, I have no higher praise for like a, you know, a comic book based TV show than this. Mm-hmm. I don't think it gets any better. Better than WandaVision, I'd say, which was previously a real high point for me.
Yes.
Are things compressed? Yes. Like, I'll stipulate to everything that Dan said for sure. I particularly like that, in a way, the writers did the Babe Ruth thing and pointed to where they're going to hit the ball with the science/fiction episode. And it, while it had all been Star Trek, you know, engineering babble, the whole thing, I think what the show implicitly and explicitly underscores is that, like, storytelling is the heart of the matter, and it brings everything together. And sort of the stories that you tell yourself are more powerful than whatever mumbo-jumbo science thing happens to be going on in the moment. That makes me sound anti-science. I hope I'm sort of communicating in the right way what I mean by that. Locally finding his own story and his own purpose and his own truth came from within rather than coming from, you know, some sort of technical gadget or fight, fight, fight or anything like that. Mm-hmm. His sacrifice was of himself and for others, which is the most superhero thing you could do. So, nailed it.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, that is the end of Loki. And I assume we'll have something else to talk about at some point in the not too distant future.
Yeah. Well, the Marvels, possibly.
Yes, possibly the Marvels, depending on some timing. But yeah. But let's pop over to the letters page since we had some Loki related mail, shall we? First up is Jay. Jay writes, this is about episode 5. I've seen some early comments about Loki episode 5 saying it's a filler episode as it only accomplishes one plot progression. Of course, haven't heard your comments on the podcast yet, so we'll see if you feel the same. I think of these shows as segmented movies, so for me, this is just the start of Act 3, and I did think it did fine in progressing the plot ready for the final hour and also adding to everyone's character development. Also, then he mentions the thing that I have a question about, which is, but never mind that. I'm writing to let you know there's a post-credit something, just in case, like me, you missed it on the first viewing. Anyway, insert all the usual platitudes for your excellent podcast here. I'm going to watch the Echo trailer again now. I went back and looked. I could not find a post-credit anything in that episode. Did I miss something?
There's a sound. I forget. I forget what it was.
It's at the very end. I think it says game over or victory.
Yeah, it's
or
like that's
Mortal,
right.
It's a Mortal Kombat style.
It's the Zaniac game.
The Zaniac game. Yeah, okay. Yeah. I missed it. Okay.
Yeah. I think it's, got it. If I'm remembering correctly, it's after all of the localization credits too.
Oh, like is it? Okay.
I think it's like right at the end. Too. It's like the final card.
I tried looking and I guess maybe I didn't.
It doesn't seem like they ever put anything after the localization stuff.
Yeah, maybe I'm wrong.
Can't imagine it's behind that, but it's definitely very far at the end.
Yeah. I scrolled, but I think I was mainly looking, like scrubbing, looking for video rather than looking for sound.
Oh, yeah.
Looking for sounds. A very useful thing that you can do.
Yeah, that's not going to work out as well as you think it might.
Echo's
exciting.
That, I agree. Episode 5 I thought was fine, and I agree that there is sort of an act break thing there which explains some of the structuring of having, like, you know, a couple episodes for each act essentially.
There was some news going around that they were told to rewrite the ending. Like something happened, and they like wrote episode 5 in a weekend. Some kind of
crunch.
I haven't bothered reading any of that stuff because A, I don't know if I buy it. B,
right,
whatever. I don't know. I don't want to get too invested in all of these behind the scenes shenanigans that people claim to be.
Yeah, I'm very honestly, interested in general in what people, you know, the people involved with the production of the show want to talk about. I'm less interested in what people.
Yeah. So the thing is, I think that came from an interview with a guy from like one of the writers.
I missed that. If that's the case,
yeah, I'll try to dig it up. But I mean, also. What that means, like, who knows? Like, you know, oh, we were told we had some mandate to change it. I don't think it's that so much, but I haven't properly read the thing. Maybe next week or whenever we reconvene, we can go over that kind of stuff. I don't care. It came out better. Or can I say it's better? I don't know. We're just talking about the multiverse here, so who am I to judge? But I don't know. What we got, amazing. And if whatever pressure that was put on them produced last week, which it was such a tremendous episode. There were scenes in that that I did not think we would ever see in a superhero show. Like I keep going back to that record shop thing. What a weird,
oh my god, yeah,
it's so exactly. Cool. Just that in isolation is amazing.
Yep.
Anyway, yeah, so terrific episode 5, great episode 6, a worthy capper.
We have two letters from Joe, one about the episode 5 and one about the finale. Let's start with the episode 5 one. Keep forgetting to write, so I'm probably too late for the podcast. Based on what we see in this episode, what do you think happened to the characters at the end of episode 4? Loki started time slipping again. Maybe he did subconsciously. Sylvie has her memory, so even though we didn't see it happen, my guess is she used He Who Remains temp pad to save only herself to return to her favorite McDonald's timeline.
Yeah, that's right.
By the way, she didn't seem to act surprised or relieved / happy to see Loki again, which was odd. What does she think happened to him when the loom exploded? Did she not care? Maybe the other three variants ceased to exist along with Victor. Loki seems to be traveling to the timelines where they each came from, perhaps near the time when a variant timeline branched that the TVA pruned when they were originally taken to the TVA and memory wiped to become agents. Does that make sense? Joe, you're thinking a lot about it.
Yes, so I think... Like I was saying earlier with this fiction thing, I think that that makes sense, and your headcanon is good enough. And I don't mean that in to be dismissive of it. I just think that these parts don't necessarily need to fit together for the tapestry that they were weaving to make to work. Does that make sense? Like, some things just let it go, I think. Which is maybe not satisfying, but I
get the impulse to try and make it all make sense.
But I think that's the science side of it, right? Is like make it all make sense. And the fiction side of it is just like, good enough.
Although, I will say that I do find it, sometimes very unsatisfying when a show does just character. I'm not going to bring up shows in particular, but there have definitely been some shows, around the mid-2000s, two in particular, that I was very dissatisfied with the ending because I thought that they focused only on character and let all the other things that happened in the show kind of like drop by the wayside. I think this show has maybe some things that, like on very deep scrutiny, don't hold up maybe. I haven't done that scrutiny. I feel like at least they did a fair amount of work, right? I mean, they tried pretty hard and most of it seems to work pretty well. I'm not going to go peel the whole thing apart.
Yeah.
I'm satisfied enough.
Yeah. But Sophie's temp pad is a good enough excuse for me. Why she didn't save anybody else, I don't know, but.
See, that was what she was there to do.
Everything is collapsing. I mean, she's also, like she says in this episode, spent her whole life at the end of time, or not the end of time. Yeah.
If you take each instance of every individual, then Loki does the same thing multiple times, right? I mean, he lets them dissolve over and over and over again.
Yeah.
Although I think he can't time slipping. He can't take somebody with him though. So
yeah,
that doesn't quite work. But still,
speaking of, it's never explained. Why does Loki time flip?
Oh, I mean, He Who Remains. It's suggested He Who Remains did that to him. I think he says that.
I know.
He says I started to do that.
But that led to his demise. Like, it's weird.
Don't think about it too much.
Like, why him?
There's another aspect to that that I have yet to go back and investigate is whether or not what is done at the end of season one really holds together well with what happens at the end of season two. I wonder if that is the case, but I haven't gone back to watch the end of season one yet in order to verify whether it does or not. So from what I remember... It's fine. Right.
Yeah, that's it. It's
and
like,
also, you know, you I think you get the sense that he is sort of lying to them throughout. So whatever he says doesn't necessarily matter because he's been a liar.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed. Okay. Joe also writes about the finale. The show is very well put together in so many ways. It's certainly the most creative of the MCU shows and has some great actors. But it got a bit too wrapped up in MacGuffins at times, and all the technobabble and time shenanigans undercut the emotional impact, especially since Sylvie had a lesser role. I didn't feel Loki sacrificed in the same way as the other big emotional scenes in the movies. Overall, a very good show, and we can only hope other Marvel stories are told with this level of care. Question.
Okay, yeah. Wait. Okay, Joe, I get that. I get that. I dig that. I can understand that. It really swept me up. I can appreciate that perspective. There's a lot of chasing around and just getting stuff. I remember, like, the episode in the fair, I remember you guys being a little bit more down on it than I was. To me, the emotional payoff was worth it, but, you know, different strokes for different folks. It's probably not going to be everybody's top-tier bit, but it is... I'm glad that everybody seems to think it was terrifically well done, whether or not it was to their perfect taste or not.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that. I mean, you're not going to satisfy all the people. Yeah. I felt it still worked for me, even with the MacGuffins and technobabble. I mean, yeah, it's a show about time travel and about people working. I'm okay with
it.
Yeah. Joe has some questions. One, do you think there will be a season three of Loki? I think we kind of addressed this, but I guess our general feeling is probably not.
Yeah. I mean, it's like dragging Picard back out to stick him in the movies or something, and then having to reverse that decision and end with the exact same scene like 40 years later. They should have just left him playing cards with his buddies. But anyway, no, don't take him back out. Don't do a season three. If they do, make it a TVA show.
LinkedIn, do you think we'll ever see this Loki variant again? No. I said cameo. I think you made a cameo, but I don't expect it to be of any real meat.
And so there's conspiracy things out there that he ends up making, you know, Secret Wars and all that happen, which is possible.
Yeah, I'm gonna just. I don't want people like speculating. I don't.
Right. I just don't want them to do that.
Yeah.
Mephisto. Yeah, I'd rather have Mephisto come out of nowhere and do it than like have Loki do something.
He is Mephisto. That's clearly true. Hiddleston has been fantastic. You think he's done playing Loki, or will he return for Secret Wars, Deadpool 3, a Thor movie, etc.?
Oh, maybe. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, there's a bunch of variants, maybe, and he'd be fun because he's wonderful. He is such a terrific actor, though. I hope he goes on and does lots and lots more amazing stuff because he's
I feel good about his prospects.
Oh, I don't mean that. I just, like, he's caught my attention. I would go see another movie with him in it, just, or a show. Kind of without even knowing much about it. So,
sure. Finally, why did Timely say pumpkins in the middle of this episode? Asked and sort of answered.
Yeah. Asked, definitely.
Asked, for sure.
It was Halloween. That's why.
Josh writes, "Hey, Biffsters, is that a word? Can I please suggest Moving on Hulu for your next watch after Loki? It's a Korean drama about people with superpowers and their kids who inherit them. It deals with how their life is affected by these powers and how the government tries to take advantage of them. It's a 20-episode season and truly a very fresh take on the superpower genre. Each of the 20 episodes feels earned and does not drag anywhere, and you will get to relate to the vast cast of lovable characters."
That sounds cool. Yeah, I think, John, you mentioned that previously.
I watched the first episode, and I thought it was good. Yeah. So, I mean, the only problem is it's in Korean.
Right, so, yeah, I definitely struggle
You have to really watch.
Yeah. Stuff.
I'll try to rule it out.
Yeah. We'll have it on our. We'll put it on the list. I think. Yeah.
I have a trouble getting Hulu. I mean, I'm Canadian, so there's no Hulu. But
I think it may be in Disney Plus for you. But
maybe.
I don't know.
Yeah. Hopefully, it'll be easy to achieve. I jotted that down a week or so ago, and I just haven't got to it. But yeah, that sounds very cool.
That's it for questions. Do we? I know we've already gone fairly long. Do we want to do some sweep or
some light sweep?
Quick some sweep. Light sweep. You want to do a quick sweep?
Yeah.
We might as well, since we don't know if we're back next week or.
Yeah. In fact, next week. Well, next week is Thanksgiving, so why don't we skip? Yeah,
we're off. Yeah, so we're off not. Next week, no matter what.
Yeah. So we're off next week, maybe, and maybe the week after that, we'll do something.
Yeah.
Because of the Friday record. Okay. Whatever. We'll figure it out. Don't worry. We'll be back.
Yep.
Not next week. Sometime soon after that.
Sometime soon after that. But yeah, some quick superhero sweep. What do you guys want to talk about? We've got the Madam Web trailer. You want to talk about that?
I don't think we need to.
Okay.
I kind of want to.
I'll just say that I don't think much of it. I'll just say that.
I kind of want to talk about it because we can sink our teeth into like something good and fun and goofy some other time. Maybe, you know, maybe if they've put out another trailer or something, or next episode of whenever we record this, we can have some fun with it. But
I don't, yeah, I don't want to be this guy, but like I will say, as I commented elsewhere, when I watched this trailer, I feel like Dakota Johnson has literally the same line reading on every single line in the trailer. And yeah. I annoyed me.
That as well. I completely agree.
Did you notice that when they're standing in the woods, they're just basically having like an Arrow style book club meeting of like exposition dump standing in a circle?
Yep.
Yeah.
Plus, let's dump in all the other, like, you know, I don't want to call them B or second tier, but like there are a ton of other spider people heroes, and this is like all of them in one episode. I don't know what you're doing here.
Yeah. Anyway, whatever.
This is Sony. This is Sony holding down its spider IP, basically.
Yeah.
What if season two?
Ah, what if? Indeed. What if? Yep. What if season two?
What if season two is coming? For that out. Which, you know, that looks more entertaining.
That looks fun.
Yeah.
Looks about as, you know, as entertaining as the first season.
My biggest question, I don't know if this has been divulged anywhere, is how much of the cast, like the first season, they kept a lot of the cast. Mm-hmm. Not all of them, but many of them. I'm curious to know if that continues throughout season two. Because it felt like, I mean, there are obvious choices, right? Like, Black Panther appears in several things. Clearly, Chadwick Boseman is no longer with us, so somebody else will be voicing him.
I think presumably. That's T'Chaka, actually.
Oh, T'Chaka is shown, but I thought they showed T'Challa at 1.2. But I could be wrong. One of them is Killmonger's in there, too. I don't know.
Killmonger's definitely in there,
Yeah.
They can't, they love going back to that. Well, they know they can't put him back in their movies, but they're like,
exactly right.
Damn it!
Right, we'll keep
damn it!
Him,
we've got such a cool character, and we just cannot use
him.
Yeah. I'm curious. I mean, I don't know how much of this was filmed like kind of back to back or whatever with the first.
Yeah,
season,
I think one of them was. Remember,
one of them was definitely from.
That's
pushed
out.
Pulled
out. Pushed out.
Yeah.
I think it's the one where they're racing, right? Where Tony Stark is with Gamora.
Yeah,
they're right. Mario
with
or something.
With her sister,
Nebula.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm interested. I liked.
I mean, we'll cover that.
I liked Jeffrey Wright a lot in the first season. I liked a lot of the stuff they did with Hayley Atwell. Like, there's great stuff in there. It's not all amazing, but you know, it's fine.
No, but that's what we don't have time for this now, but I love it when everything
that's
is amazing.
That it's not all.
It's okay. Try things.
It's fine.
Have some fun.
Right.
Do
I don't like it when it's all bad.
Yeah,
I
of
love
course
it
no.
when it's all good.
Of course, but
it doesn't have to be perfect. I mean, Lord knows that we have covered Arrow for enough years that we don't have. It's obvious we don't have to cover something that's perfect.
Right. Exactly. But even now, so when you've got a through line through your whole season, and that through line is a stinker. Let's take Secret Invasion. It drags the whole thing down. If you have in the episodic thing, swing for the fences. If there's a bad one next week, you may get a great one. Go for it. Just have fun. Even if there's a bad one of these things, I'm going to admire them for trying. I think that's terrific. I mean, we're Star Trek fans for a reason. Half of that stinks. And I think it does. You know, I love it. I love all of it. I love it all. But there's a lot of stinkers, you know, and that's great. I kind of admire it for it.
But you remember the high points too, right? Like,
of course, yeah. And I hope and I pray and I really want. I don't really pray, but I hope that Marvel fans and Star Wars fans can get to that point where, guess what? Relax, have a little bit of fun. Not everything needs to be top notch, and. Rolling the dice on these crazy what-if episodes, I love it. Even the ones that aren't great, I really appreciate and I dig that they exist. So yeah, I'm enthusiastic about this. How we're going to cover it is a different story because they're dropping one day at a time.
One episode. Yeah. Yeah, that's
all
that's
during Christmas, which is great for families and all that, but not
I mean, not great for us.
Yeah, for Biff Enterprises.
Yep. don't think I signed up on the paperwork for the corporation. I must have missed that.
Oh dear.
That explains why.
Yikes.
That explains why
getting the checks.
Yeah, that's right.
That explains why we didn't see you on the corporate jet. I was wondering. Yeah.
We'll figure out how I do appreciate this is, you know, right before they do Echo in January and they're clearly playing around with different release strategies, which I'm also okay with.
Me too. I think that's,
you know, why not try it out?
Yeah. I know Disney broadly is being kind of not super jazzed about the way Disney Plus has been going. At least, you know, they want to figure it out. And the fact that they're sort of experimenting with the way they're releasing stuff with more than one property makes me feel like, you know, the Echo being all in one chunk is less of a sign that they don't believe in Echo and more of a sign that they just want to try a few new things and see what sticks.
Yeah. I mean, there's,
you it's know, not a mark of as shame, we always is what say, I'm trying to say, you know, it's like,
as we always say, people are looking to fit a narrative a lot of times, you know, let them do their things. Don't worry about it. Judge the shows on their merits, not on what somebody is predicting ahead of time. Right. That goes the same for, you know, people talking about the Marvels a lot and like, oh, it's going to open low and all this. And it's like, it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah. Also, it's
just
been
the movie. If you want, don't watch the movie.
It's been a strike.
That's all it comes down to.
It's been a strike. You know how hard it is to, you know, there's a bunch of reasons why that might open low.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Do go watch the Iman Vellani interview on Seth Meyers.
Yeah.
It's pretty great. And Iman Vellani remains awesome. Yeah. So,
I will say that if you've been holding off on going to see the Marvels, go see it. I mean, like, you know, I'm not going to say it's like the best thing I've ever seen, but, you know, don't believe that it's bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am purely limited by my logistics and ability to go to the movies. Yeah.
I wasn't.
I would love
to
go see it. Yeah. Why? Yeah. Why you? Why you doing this to me, John? John, come to my house, watch my child, so I can go to the movies.
A little bit of a logistical problem there.
Yeah. Well, you could take the private Biff jet.
Yeah. Sure. See. Yeah.
I thought you were using it.
You can take the kid on the private Biff jet. For all I can.
Okay. I'll have Happy fly it up there for you. It's funny that like, we hired a guy. We just called him Happy. We don't tell him why.
He's
Happy Hogan.
You hired Favreau?
Yeah.
He's really hurting for work.
No, we just
hired Gower too.
No, it's just he's a driver/pilot, and we just hired him, and that's it. We're just calling him. You've really got to come to the corporate meetings.
I've been busy. Yeah. Not gonna lie.
Yeah. Well, you should look into our generous Biff childcare situation. Maybe I can
Now you tell me. Jeez, bit late, guys. All right. We're going to wrap up here. Thank you, everybody, for following along with our coverage of Loki Season 2. Hope you enjoyed it. And we'll be back in a couple weeks to talk about the next thing on the list. So, you know, stay tuned. We'll be back. We can't get rid of us that easy. We've been doing this long with so little financial incentive that if it really mattered, we would have stopped by now.
Wow.
My shirts have been selling pretty well, though, actually.
Okay. Well, all right. Go buy a shirt. Thank you, everybody, there for listening to my co-hosts. Thank you immensely. It's been a delight to talk with you about Loki Season 2. I think we all had a good time, and it was nice, as some other the others of you have said, to ignore some bad things that might have happened at some undisclosed time in the past. Right. John Moltz, thanks for being here.
We die with the dying. We are born with the dead.
Shit. Sorry.
Sorry to drop that on you at the end here.
Damn. I gotta go think about that. Guy English, always a pleasure.
I'm not gonna follow that. I'm just a fool. It'd be foolish to try.
And thank you.
But I would carry the weight of the multiverse on my back for you guys. That's how much I give you.
That's sweet. Thank you again, everybody out there, for listening and for supporting the show. We really appreciate it. We'll see you next time.
Or Star Trek.